Well, as we get into the second part of the fire that needs not, as we in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, this huge verse, quench not the Spirit. We as born-again Christians are sealed until we get our new bodies with the Spirit. But we can quench the Spirit. We can live as Christians as if we're not even saved. Now, some of those would argue with us, and some of those of the Lordship salvation stripes would say that's impossible. If you're born again, you will serve. Then why does it say quench not the Spirit? If you can't quench it, then why does it say that? Well, you won't be in habitual sin. You may sin, but not be in habitual sin. Friends, all sin is habitual. And it says quench not the Spirit. Point one is don't extinguish it. You know, I have a boat in Florida, and I checked my boat this week, and my fire extinguisher was not ready to be boarded by the Coast Guard. My flares that you're supposed to have were not ready because they were out of date. I don't want to say how much out of date, but it was quite a few years. So I got really ready. Got a new fire extinguisher because the Coast Guard's boarding everybody now. And when they board me, I'm going to say, hey, come right ahead. By the way, do you want to see my fish? You're going to board? Look at my fish. Pretty good, aren't they? Well, I haven't caught any yet, but I'm just dreaming. A gentleman came up to me after the service last Sunday morning, and he was concerned, and it was a good question. It was a sincere question. He says, I've been so bad, I think I've quenched the Spirit. And I know I'm going to go to heaven, but am I doomed? Can I ever get the Spirit reignited? And my news for him was, yes, you may. It's not in your verse sheet, but 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, 1 John's written to the ones that are wanting to stay close to Christ. John was written to those that need to be saved. 1 John was written to those that need to be close to God. And 1 John 1:9, as you've heard many preachers say over the years, is the Christian bar of soap. Every day, you know, we have to wash and cleanse ourselves and use soap. And I'm a believer as a man of using ivory. My wife uses that Dovey Gubby. You put it on, you feel like yucky. I like ivory. It's the only soap that'll take fish smell off a man's hand, right, Steve? You know that. But 1 John 1:9 is a Christian bar of soap. And there's not any of you today that cannot confess to God and get back and get that Spirit burning in you again. As long as there's life, there's hope. Especially those of you in church. And we can have the Spirit burning in us. See, what this message is about is God wants us to have a connection point. That connection point to God. Now, I want us to get this. This is so hard for us to get. But God lives not with us, but in us. Did you get that? God, Emmanuel, with us. That's great. But now, it's better than Emmanuel with us. It's God in us. The God of the universe, through His Spirit, the same Spirit that lived in Christ, is the Spirit that lives in us. Wow! I hope that gets you excited. That's how come we're able to worship, with trusting confidence. I hope that does something to you. Now, let me give you some. Y'all like to take little tests? Well, I don't mean if they're going to be graded. But I mean, just in your own mind. Give yourself a little test. How many people in my life have I won to Christ? Some will say, well, a lot. Some will say, not as many as I should. Some will say, none. None. Then you don't think it's important? Do you not think it's important? Is it not important? Well, that's for the preacher. No, it's not for the preacher. The preacher is really not supposed to be the main soul winner in the church, although he should be a soul winner. It's to be you. The preacher's to equip you to go out and do the work, to be an evangelist, to go out. You say, well, I'm not an evangelist. I don't have the gift. What gift do you have then? You're not to quench the Spirit. Oh, I know everybody. I was riding with a couple last night, and he was a macho guy, and she was a, you know, the woman of the world. I don't know if they were famous or not. They were saying, did you see all those people recognize us? Now, either they're famous or they're stupid and deluded. I don't know which they were. So I tried to give a track. And he said, sir, I don't need any of that kind of stuff. Don't bug me with that. And I said, I won't bug you with it. I said, someday you'll burn in hell, but I won't bug you with it. And I didn't say it, but I mean, I thought it probably wouldn't have been proper. He had pretty good sized muscles. So I decided to let that one go. But oh, they're so cool. I happened to turn on Billy Graham last night, and it was one of his old classics. Some things that I don't agree with for sure, but I do appreciate that he's been a moral man and never had a scandal. And he said, you know, it's just as sinful to live out of wedlock today as it has always been. Compromise ourselves and say, well, it's a rite of passage. It's what you're supposed to do when you grow up. Friends, it is not what you're supposed to do. It's perversion. And I don't care who says it's okay. It's not okay. We're living out of wedlock. It's not okay. And it's never going to be okay. And I may be the last person on earth saying that, but it's still the truth and it's in the Word of God. And then all these Christians are going to see the Da Vinci Code and some are saying, well, it's a good chance to witness. It is not a chance to witness to go to something that blasphemes our Lord Jesus. And you don't need to see it. You don't need to see it. You don't need to see any of that filth. And I'll tell you what. Now, let's hope the press doesn't get a hold of this, but I could care less. Everyone involved in that film is going to pay a price that's going to be pretty bad. No, not from us. From God. You don't blaspheme Jesus Christ and not pay a price. You're going to pay a price to say that Jesus Christ was married to Mary Magdalene. It's hard to believe that Opie would do something like that, isn't it? Just so hard to believe. But oh, follow the money. We want the money. That's all we want. We want to follow the money. Follow the money. What did you do? How did you do on your test? Have you not won anybody to Christ? You say, well, I'm too shy. Well, you're not shy about sports, are you? You're not shy about golf, are you? You're not shy about whatever, are you? Why are you so shy about God? What are you talking about? What is your heart? What's in your heart? There's a man, and he came into the doctor's office, and he was shuffling his feet, and he's all stooped over, and he could hardly move, and he's in pain. A friend said that was in the office visiting with someone else and said, oh, has he got arthritis to the wife? She said, no, not arthritis. Do-it-yourself concrete blocks. And we have people today that are doing it yourself. We don't need God. Don't you get so sick of everybody saying, and Mother Earth has provided us. Mother Earth, and we're so worried about, you know, the first Earth Day. And this is the truth. This is fact. They were saying that we were having a global freeze. That's the truth. That's not made up. And now it's global warming. I got news for you. Aerosol cans is not going to change our globe. Jesus Christ is in charge of all that. And yes, we ought to protect it. We shouldn't pollute it. But just remember, the Lord Jesus is in charge of our weather. And if we don't wake up as a nation, He's going to keep sending the wickedness of the hurricanes upon us and all the other stuff until we wake up and acknowledge that there's a God in heaven. I know nobody wants to hear that. Just, I'm fed up with all this sin anymore. Just tough. Forgive me, but I'm tough. I'm upset. Sin everywhere. Some say, I'm waiting for the right time. Someday I'll witness somebody. When God opens the door, what do you want Him to do? Open the door and say, come in. I got someone you lead to Christ. Well, someday, Pastor, I'm going to witness, but I haven't. Well, you've been saved 45 years. When are you going to start? Well, someday I will. Well, there's some people. I understand. There's some people that can't witness. I understand that. There are some, and God understands that. There's some people that are truly impossible. They're too shy, and they're shy about everything. But if you're not shy about everything, you can witness. You can witness. My wife and I were in a restaurant on Friday, and this man came up. He said, are you Dr. Scooter? I don't care what he calls me. It doesn't bother me at all. It's just nice that he recognized me. He said, I told my wife that's who it was. She said, it's impossible. He says, you know what? He said, I never used to go to church. I never did anything. And now he said, I'm going, and he told me the Baptist church's name he's going to. I said, that's great. Have you ever called our ministry? He said, no, Sunday. I said, Sunday? I said, you've never called? No, sir, but I sure like you. I said, I see that all the time. Sunday. You know, there'll be someday we'll be put off the air and everybody will say, what happened? We just didn't have enough money. Why didn't you tell us? Because if we tell you, you think we're begging for money. If everyone that someday is going to call and send a dollar, we'd probably be a billionaire overnight. Probably a little exaggeration, but still, it's not that much of an exaggeration. See, this is a possession of the Spirit that gives us a distinguishing characteristic that no one else in this world has. We have God, the Holy Spirit, living in us. I know some people in the world will outwork us, but nobody in the world can accomplish what we can accomplish because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And when you see the people in this church and the work that they do, they're doing so many great things for Christ. Someday it's coming and we're going to see it. The Holy Spirit, the consuming fire, it destroys in us what was once a curse. It takes time. You don't just get saved and get rid of every sin all at once. It's a growing process. It takes time. It takes time to see things work in our lives. It's not easy. The curse is going. You know, someone says that when I was born, I was cursed with a bad voice, can't sing. I got news for you. Some people appreciate my singing. Well, I couldn't be here last Sunday night. I had a flare-up of diverticulitis, and my little Amanda stayed with me. And just out of nowhere, I was kind of humming a little song. She said, Papa, it's just not fair. I said, what, honey? She said, it's just not fair. Everybody says you can't sing, and she says, you sing so good. We're not going to put her as our music critic, but it was so nice to have somebody believe in you, even if it's not true. It's just not fair. There's a lot of things just not fair. A lot of things aren't going to be made right until we stand before the judgment seat. As we get into 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll see some of that. We have great news, though. Here's what the great news is. We have our destination secure. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, but we still have a free will. You say, why is that good news? Now, the five-point Calvinists can't say that because they think some are born to go to heaven and some are born to go to hell and some don't have a choice. You're just born and whatever you're going to be, you're going to be. And a lot of people teach that today. And some will say, oh, that Dr. Scudder, he just believes anybody can be saved. That's a dangerous doctrine. No, it's not. If they're right and I'm wrong, no big deal. Those that are going to be saved are going to be saved, and those that are going to be lost are going to be lost. It doesn't matter what I teach. But I'm not wrong, and everybody can be saved. And here's another thing. We have a free will even after we're saved, and it says, quench not the Spirit. Aren't you glad He gives us a free will? None of you have to serve Christ to go to heaven. I had a distinguished Jewish man ask me, he says, Pastor, are you saying that you can live any way as you want and still go to heaven? Well, I don't think you can live any way as you want. God will chasten you, and there's even a sin unto death. But yes, you'll still go to heaven if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus who died and paid our sin debt. You'll still go to heaven. That's the greatest news in all the world. You know, we're going to have an evaluation someday. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be terrible. I heard a man at the airport, he looked like a pretty high-up executive, and he's on the cell phone. He says, yeah, Bill. He said, on Monday, we're doing you and Phil's evaluation. Woo! I'm glad he didn't say, and Jim. Boy, I bet there's not going to be a lot of sleep. And we're going to evaluate you and how you're doing with our company. Woo! But we don't believe God's going to do that, do we? We don't believe God's going to do that. We don't think God's going to evaluate us. But He is. He's going to evaluate us on our obedience to Christ, how we obey the gospel, how we obey those in authority over us. He says, obey them in everything that have authority over you in Christ. Boy, we don't like to do that. Not today. Not this age we live in. Not this age we live in. Oh, boy. You know, I'm shocked. I mean, we got extra chairs in today, but I'm shocked that this church isn't packed upon packed upon packed upon packed every Sunday. But they'd rather go to a church that tells them what they want to hear instead of a church that tells them what they should hear. We don't try to get up and please people. We get up and try to speak the truth from the Word of God. The fire can be put out by a life devoted to self and selfish hopes. One of the most non-selfish men that I've ever known in my life is Dr. Ron C. Tron. I was out riding my bike Friday night, and I get this call, and it's Dr. C. Tron. I have no clue what these neighbors must have thought, so I had to stop. I couldn't, you know, from India, and I'm out there with my lights flashing on my bike. They probably thought I was some kind of weirdo. And he says, "Brother," I said, "How are we doing, Dr. C. Tron?" He says, "Brother," he says, "I'm doing fine spiritually. I'm doing fine physically." But he says, "We still don't have the permit. And we found that the guy that did it is a crook. And he purposely did what he did on purpose so that they can extract more money." I said, "How are you feeling?" He says, "It's hot." He said, "It's between now and the hottest time of the year. It's the low of the day is 108 and it goes to 120. I wanted to buy him a car, but we haven't even bought it. I asked the people on the TV, the radio, and here to buy him a car. He's got a non-air-conditioned car. He's suffering. No family. He's over there and trying to fight the devil with all that he's fighting with." So many times we could do it and we don't do it. I said, "Brother, why don't we just buy that piece of property next door and that will make everything right." You know what he said? "That's highway robbery, Pastor, and I'm not going to let them rob us." I said, "Well, Dr. Citron, that's just around 40. It'd be a struggle somehow, some way. It would be the end of your troubles." He says, "Brother, no. Respectfully, no. Because I'm not going to reward a robber." I'm just sitting there thinking, I can't believe a man like that. He doesn't quench the Spirit. He's got the Spirit burning high on him right now. See, the one of fuel is what quenches the Spirit. A man's soul, the Spirit is quenched because they never replenish it by prayer, by Bible study, by going to church, by witnessing. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Do you understand that? Do you understand what it means to have the Holy Spirit live in us? Live in us. You know, we get so worried in this life, stuff that doesn't count. There's a little boy, and everything he drew it black or brown, crayons. Every time he did anything, came home black or brown. The mother got so shook, and she sent him to a shrink, a Christian shrink, but a shrink. She said, "Everything he draws is black and brown." I remember one time my mother took me to a doctor. I was limping. She was very concerned. I said, "Mother, it's the mule. It's the mule." I was riding a mule. Go to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Mrs. Scudder, has your son been riding a horse? That's the symptoms." Well, that's what he was telling me. Well, this boy, black and brown, she's really concerned. One of the aunts got him a box of new crayons, and after this huge evaluations, they sent him to, I think, three shrinks. Time was over. And he got the crayons. He said, "Oh, I'm so thankful I've got these crayons. They're all the colors at school. I only had black and brown." That's how we are. We're missing the issue. The Holy Spirit is living in us. And we can see great things taking place in our lives. But we're just black and brown, black and brown, black and brown. We're missing the issue. Look at Colossians 4:14 and 2 Timothy 4:10. Luke, the blood physician, and Demas greet you. And then this one ought to make you shake and shudder. It ought to stand your hairs on their ends. "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica, and Cretans to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia." Do you see what that says? He was high up, but he loved the present world. He wanted the things of the world, the stamp of approval from the world. Listen, when God says don't love the world, he doesn't mean don't love the beauty of the world. This world's going to be remade. We're going to live in it forever and ever and ever. And I love this world. But it's not going to have the sea, though, because it says there'll be no more sea. There'll be beautiful rivers on. They'll be crystal clear. Be rivers everywhere. Won't be a sea, though. He's going to remake this heavens and the earth. The word new is really the word makeover. Dr. Henry Morris, and I'll tell you what, I believe in Henry Morris, don't you? Henry Morris said it's obviously in the Greek, it's going to be remade. Remade. Gloriously remade. But here's Demas. He's forsaken me because he loved this present world. And he's not serving. He's still in heaven. Demas is in heaven. Now the Lord shepherds that say Demas had a perpetually bad sin. Well, so do the Lord shepherds. They've got a perpetually bad sin too, believing in Lordship salvation to be saved. I'll tell you what, I'll match our people against any people on this earth. They work harder than any people in any Lordship church because we're doing it out of grace. We're serving Christ not because we have to, because we want to. We've got to take this great truth and we've got to apply it. It's a dangerous thing to have truths and not apply them. We win that first soul to Christ. Believe me. You know, we got some high schoolers now and they think that the greatest thing in all the earth is winning someone to Christ. We got a bunch of witnessing teenagers. They really are. I'm really proud of them. I couldn't say this for many years, but I'm really proud of them. And they're witnessing teenagers. And they really do. And they say it's the greatest joy the world has ever known. See, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, but not in this world right now. That's when he comes again. He came to destroy the works of the devil in us. You say, but I'm still going to sin. Friends, we're all still going to sin. Your pastor's still going to sin. We're all going to fail. And we're all going to need 1 John 1:9. I would give everything that I own if I could tell you that I would never sin again. That would be the most wonderful, happiest moment of my life if I could say I'll never sin again. But I can't until I get my new glorified body. And when I get that, I won't sin again. I won't sin again. Won't that be great? Won't that be great? Man, it will be great. Really, really be great. See, some don't see the value of a soul. A soul is worth more than the whole world. What does it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? A soul is worth more than the whole world. One soul is worth more than the whole world. See, you can pray and you say, oh, I want to, you try to be joy generators. I remember a guy that years and years ago hadn't been in this church for years, and I went with him somewhere and I heard him, I was behind him, and he kept saying, I love my job, I love my job, I love my job, I love my job, I love my job. That's what he kept saying. I mean, I was ready to kill the guy. I love my job, I love my job. And I was going, I hate your job, I hate your job, I hate your job. I love my job. And that's supposed to joy generate, see? Just repeat after me. So many people are so stupid. They're just stupid. They really believe. Just say, I love my job, I love my job, I love my job. The world's going to take care of me. The world's going to take care of me. The world's not going to take care of you. The world's friends are not going to be your real friends. When you don't have what they need, they're going to turn on you. I love my job, I love my job, I love my job. About 6 years after that, he got fired. Now he's got another one. I love my job, I love my job. I said, well, why'd they fire you? Well, I guess I said I love my job too much. When you fire someone, did that? Oh, my goodness. The Spirit gives the fire with gifts. We all have gifts, spiritual gifts, and we need to use it. We need to use it. You know, we're to get into the deep waters where the fun is. Our kids, we rented the facilities from Bemidji State, and they went swimming. And, you know, most of them have never got to use a diving board because, you know, today with liabilities, you can't have a diving board. You know, used to, every hotel had a diving board. I used to just, I loved to dive. I would dive for hours and hours and hours. I was doing triple flips. Now, why do you laugh? How do you know I wasn't? I wasn't, but how do you know that? I mean, goodness, you laugh. You think I can do something? But I could do a straight in dive. I never was much on the flipping. But I love the diving boards. Except the high dive. Because one time I went off the high dive and I did a belly buster. And that was the last one I ever did. Oh, that hurt. I love my diving board.
I love my job.
Wow. There's a woman, and the husband comes home, and she had the fly swatter out. And, what are you doing? She said, I'm stalking the flies. What are you doing? She said, I'm hunting flies. She said, I've killed five, 2 males and 3 females. Really? Yeah. How do you know? Well, she said the 2 males were on the refrigerator and the 3 females were on the phone. Now, is that okay? Is that a PC okay? All right, some of these women are going to call and say, I don't like that. Cool it, ladies and men. What do you mean, man? Now, how did you know the man would be on the refrigerator? Man, met a man, and he said, Dr. Scudder, I heard you say on TV that the Internet's wicked. He said, but my grandkids, he said, they're okay. And I've got the Internet in both of their rooms. Because I told him if they ever locked the door, I would tear down the door, and that'd be the end of the Internet. He said, what do you think? I said, I think you're nuts. I'm not real diplomatic. Why? I said, because once they get on it, they're doomed. Well, we got some Christians, I'm sure, right in this room. You're an exceptional kids, and they're not going to be doomed. I got news for them. They'll be doomed. But you don't need to listen, because you're smarter than anybody else. And teach your children not to listen to the pastor. It's no big deal. Just keep doing it. It's okay. It's okay. Proverbs 6:27-28, this certainly says it. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go up on hot coals and his feet not be burned? In Psalm 11:6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be their portion of their cup. Can we play with sin? Can we go as close to sin and we just tell our kids, our grandkids, don't do it. If I ever come in and your door's locked, I'm going to knock the door down and you're going to, friends, are you that naive? Sin is trying to get a hold of your kids and wreck them and ruin them. And if you can't believe your preacher after 35 years and both of his kids turned out right, you don't have any hope. If you can't believe me by now, there's no hope for you. Go to find you a seeker friendly, and you'll be more comfortable. I don't want you to do that, but I just said it. Little boy swallowed a penny. And man, he was crying, and he was crying, and he was crying. And they called the doctor. The doctor said, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Tell the kid it's okay. And they told the kid, he's still crying. So the parents tried to trick the kid. And the father came and whooshy-dooshy and brought the penny out of his ear. You know, that's how a lot of you try to solve your problems, by a little magic. Not following the Word of God. Never trusting the Word of God. Never following the Word of God. He said, Daddy, that's great. Can I see the penny? And he swallows it and said, do it again. Goodness. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. It's not good. Don't do it. In Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. The fire, the Spirit imparts light, that's knowledge. It also imparts purity. We're to have holiness. I don't care how wicked the world gets. I don't care. Let's look at Ephesians 4:30-32. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sakes has forgiven you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit until you're sealed. You can't ever get unsealed until you get that new body. You say, well, you mean some of us are going to go to heaven and some are going to have higher rewards than others? That's right. There's going to be some get up there and have no rewards. They relied on the world, the things of the world, to take care of them. They trusted the things of the world. They didn't trust Christ. You know, I have people all the time say, well, it's good that, you know, someone said to me, well, I'm glad you were in debate in high school. That's really been a help to you. Well, it may and may not. I doubt that me being a debater in high school helped me. The only thing that's helped me is my dependence upon the Holy Spirit living in me. The only thing that makes me preach or not preach is the reliance that I have upon the Holy Spirit in me. I don't need anything but Christ. You don't need anything but Christ. We need nothing but Christ. See, God's physically omnipotent, and we can resist Him, and we can resist morals. We can resist the Spirit because we have our free will. If He showed His power outwardly, not just inwardly, and we can resist it, if we could not resist His power, we wouldn't have a free will, but we can resist it. We can resist it, and that's what we shouldn't do. That's what we shouldn't do. See, the enemy knows that if he can get you, you say, well, and I know some of you men are doing wicked things on the Internet. I know that's fact. I have no proof of it, but I know it. And you're going to continue on and continue on and quench the Spirit and quench the Spirit. And you don't have the fun and the blessings that God wants you to have in life. I want to read this thing to you. And I don't quite have time to do it, but I want to do it. I hope this can help you. There was once an oyster whose story I tell who found that sand had got under his shell. Just one little grain, but it gave him so much pain. For oysters have feelings, although they're so plain. Now, how was the working of fate which had led him to such a deplorable state? Did he curse out the government and call for an election? No, as he lay on the shelf, he said to himself, if I cannot remove it, I'll try to improve it. So the years rolled by as the years always do, and he came to his ultimate destiny, stew. And this small grain of sand which had bothered him was a beautiful pearl all richly aglow. Now this tale has a moral, for isn't it grand what an oyster can do with a morsel of sand? What couldn't we do if only we begin with all the things that get under our skin? And use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. I got news for you, friends. Everything's not going to be settled until you get to glory. There's going to be a lot of injustices done to you and to me. It won't be settled until you get to glory. There's going to be people that are going to hate you. There are people hate me for doing nothing other than what I preach today. And if you want to find a group of people that can tell you all the bad stuff about me, there's plenty of them out there because they don't like this kind of preaching. This kind of preaching causes people to get upset. I mean, I got personal. I got close up and personal, didn't I? I want you to understand what I'm saying. Here's what I want you to see. You know what? My heart is more than anything else to share with people how to go to heaven. How to go to heaven. I'm known as the preacher with a billfold. No one sends money in but the preacher with a billfold. They see that billfold, and they see that there's $2 or $3 sticking out of it. My wife's been generous to me this week. And to go to heaven, you got to be perfect. This billfold represents sin. This hand right here represents you and me. And God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. You know, there's none of you can't do this. None of you can't do this. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. This hand right here represents the Lord Jesus. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. You mean I can live as I please, still go to heaven? Well, not exactly, because you will be chastened and He'll take you home to heaven early. But yes, in another sense, you can live as you please and still go to heaven. You're going to be miserable. You're not going to be happy. You're going to have to face all the people you never witnessed to, that you never took the time to care because you don't want to lose your popularity. And you want to be popular. You want most of the things we do in life, it's because we want other people to think that we're popular. That's why this church isn't packed. I could change the music and just never get specific about sin. And we could pack it out. I know we could. They don't even care if I scream and everything else, as long as I don't get specific. See, they'll forgive you of everything, but don't get specific. Just don't get specific, and it's okay. But that's not why we're here. We're here to teach the Word of God. And that's why we have such a wonderful church. And I'll take my church against any of these other churches. I don't care how big they are. And they may not have any empty seats. But I'll take these because these people are here because of the grace of God, and they understand grace. God says, I love you. I hate your sin. This hand right here represents the Lord Jesus. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. Isn't it great to be as righteous as God? And God looks upon you and me as righteous as He looks upon Christ who paid our sin. And that He died on the cross, shed His blood, paid our sin. And now God sees you and me as righteous as He sees God. And we can't sin. You said, you mean I can never lose it? No, you can never lose it. If he'll chasten you, yes, he will. All of you in here, you're afraid, aren't you? Because you might quench the Spirit. I hope you are. Anyway, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. You just receive a gift. How do you get a gift? You receive it.